First John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, the Word of God says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And together, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." And let's pray. Lord, we're excited to come to the Scriptures. And this is an amazing book, inspired, preserved, powerful. It changes lives. It's changed mine. It'll keep changing lives if we'll keep reading it and studying it and preaching it. So I pray tonight you'd help us with these simple truths, yet so powerful and so necessary to be reminded of. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight we're going to talk about fellowship, but in a little bit different way. We're going to be reminded that sin breaks fellowship. Sin breaks fellowship. So our theme for the last 2 years has been fellowship. We're interested in having fellowship with the Sovereign, that's God the Father. Have fellowship with the Son, have fellowship with the Spirit, have fellowship with the saints. But all of that stops when sin enters. Because when sin moves in, fellowship stops. A relationship, a companionship, partnership, it all is affected by sin. And these are some really powerful verses that we read, because God's trying to teach us that we have fellowship with the Father, but he also spends several verses in this small chapter reminding us that sin and fellowship don't go together. You either have fellowship or you have sin, but you never have fellowship and sin. So we have a choice to make. We can choose the pleasures of sin for a season, but we lose fellowship. Or we can choose to reject the pleasures of sin for a season, and we have fellowship with the Father, with the Son, with the Spirit, with the saints. And so this is such a powerful message. And we have to remember that, as verse 5 teaches us, that we're talking about fellowship with the Holy God. Now, when we talked this morning about fellowship with the Father, what wonderful truths, and I think it is amazing, and it ought to thrill our hearts and our souls that we can have a relationship with God the Father. I mean, the creator of it all. But we also have to understand that we are talking about a creator who is holy. He's holy. If we were to ask you tonight, what is the number one attribute of God? You would probably know, because we teach this here. The average Christian would say it's love. And while love is a wonderful attribute of God, it's not his most prominent attribute. The number one attribute of God mentioned in the Bible is his holiness. He is separate from sin. There is no sin in God. And here we have in verse 5, if you look at it, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Now that ought to encourage us. Well, it's encouraging to know that God never has a bad day. God never just gets mad at you and hurts you just because he's having a rough day. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. Jesus is still the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. I'm glad that we have an immutable God. We have a never-changing, eternal God. But there's no darkness in him. He's sinlessly perfect. He is a holy being, completely separate from sin. And that, of course, is why he went to such lengths to take care of our sin, because God could not have a relationship with sinful creatures. That sin had to be paid for. We could go all the way back to Genesis, and you see God would come down to the cool of the day and speak with Adam and Eve, and they lived in perfect harmony, and God created a world, and he created a man and a woman and animals, and I think God enjoyed coming down and spending time with his creation. But the one rule God gave them, they broke. And I'll just remind you tonight that the problem is never the rules. It's the rebellion in our hearts. If you have 1,000 rules or one rule, there is a part of you that wants to break it. You see a sign, don't touch this, and there's a part of you that's like, why? You know, as you're reaching to touch it. Don't look, why? You know, your eyes snap up, and there's a part of us that whenever there's a boundary, we just want to push against it. That is the sin nature. And there is none of that in God. He is completely separate from that. But we see a holy God walking with Adam and Eve in perfect harmony and fellowship. And then they sin, and immediately fellowship's broken. And it started with Adam and Eve. You know, the amazing thing in that story is not that God stomped into the garden. What in the world did you do? The amazing thing in that story is God came to the garden like he did every other day. But Adam and Eve were different. God knew what they had done. But Adam and Eve were different. They were hiding. I can imagine just the loving heart of God, like he knew it was coming, but oh, here we go. And there was an innocent lamb that was killed. Blood was shed. They were given coats to cover their nakedness, picturing the righteousness of Christ that would come. But notice what happened. God removed them from the garden. And now they could have fellowship, but it was different than perfect fellowship. And although we can have wonderful fellowship with God here on earth, I'm looking forward to the day when we get to heaven and we have perfect fellowship restored. Where we'll not be looking through the glass darkly, but we'll see him face to face. And I often consider what sin did to the world that day. Brother Ken and I were talking about this recently. Not just how it affected man and how it affected God, how it affected the entire creation. Sin always hurts. Always. Always. I wish you could take that with you tonight. Sin hurts every single time. And the only remedy for sin is Jesus Christ. But we see whenever we come with this idea of fellowship, we have to learn that we're trying to have fellowship with a very holy God. And sin breaks that fellowship. Look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, what are the next two words? You're lying, God says. Think about that. You tell me you're living in sin and you're close to God. You're lying. You are a liar. I don't need to go to church to be close to God. Liar. I can go out and get high and be close to God. Liar. I can go out and get drunk and be close to God. Liar. I can cuss and swear and be immoral all week long and walk into church and pretend like everything's okay. And hey, God and I are fine. I'm closer to God than I've ever been. Liar. That's not me saying that. That's the word of God. God says if you are walking in darkness, but claiming you're having fellowship with a God in whom there is no darkness, you, sir, you, ma'am, are a liar. I get weary of Christians walking away from what they know to be true, walking away from the Word of God, and they'll tell you, you see them on the street or you meet them, it's like, oh, my life's better than it's ever been. Oh, man, the kids are great. My husband and I, my wife and I, our marriage has never been better. Next time they do that, just look at them and say, liar, and record it. I want to see their face whenever you do that. I think it'd be comical. I've had people do that for me. It's like, oh, our life's great. Matter of fact, Pastor, our lives are better since we stopped coming to church. And I didn't say liar, but I did say, you know, some people might believe that. But I knew you before you were coming to church. I knew you while you were coming to church. And I know you after you're coming to church. And other people might buy that. But that's impossible. What's God saying? Sin breaks fellowship. Look at verse 7. But, oh, what a verse. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. What's this fellowship? We who are walking in the light together have fellowship with God because He's in the light. And I tell you, friend, that if you want to find God, you got to get in the light. But the problem is men don't like light. They love darkness because their deeds are evil. They don't like the light because the light makes manifest their sinful heart and their sinful actions. And so sinful Christians and humanity in general is like if you've ever been in a room full of cockroaches or bugs, you turn on the light and everybody scatters because they want to be in the shadows. But you won't find God in the shadows. You'll find Him in the spotlight of His holiness. And if you want to walk with God, you've got to be willing to get in the light. But it's scary to get in the light. Because there we can't hide. And the closer you and I get to God, the more obvious it becomes how far away from Him we are. The closer we get to God, the more we are overcome with the fact that I have so far to go. Bought my wife a Christmas present many years ago, and it was a makeup mirror. I didn't know what it was, but it looked feminine and girly, and I thought my wife would like it. And it stands on a little desk or table. You know, it's got a little pedestal stand. It comes up about that high, and you turn it on. It's just cheaply made, but around inside the mirror, it's got a light built in. So it's got like a ring light. And so you can get there and look at your face close, and it like lights your face. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. I've never seen my face so close. Well, then I turned the mirror over, and I was like, ah! Because on the other side, it's got a magnifying mirror. And I was like, what are those holes in my face? They're pores. I don't want pores. I mean, it was scary. Whiskers, you know, that you can barely see, look like about that long in the mirror. I mean, it was weird. But then as a natural guy, you know, you start looking up your nose and, you know, just looking to see what can you see? It was weird. But let me tell you, I had never seen my face so close under a bright light. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I ever want to do it again. Right? Because the older I get, the darker the room is, the dimmer your eyes get. It's like you look worse, but you don't know it because your eyes are getting worse at the same time. It's scary when you get close enough to God where He shines the light on you. And you're like, I thought I was doing better than that. I thought my pride was more in check than that. I thought my doubt was more in check than that. I thought I had that sin under control. I didn't know that was in my heart like it is. And when you walk to the light, the closer you get to God, God begins conforming you into the image of Jesus. And I'll tell you, if you stay in the light, you will be conformed into the image. But the temptation is to run back to the shadows so you can be comfortable and stay the same. But see, sin breaks fellowship. And if you want to have fellowship with God, you have to go to the light. And how do you stay in the light, preacher? How do I stay in the light? Because unlike God, I have darkness in me. And one of the things I hate about myself is that I still am wrapped in this old sinful flesh. I'm wrapped in this flesh that cares way too much what the world thinks and wants way too much of what the world offers. And I hate it about myself. And there's a piece of me on the inside where God lives that's sinlessly perfect and it can never sin and it'll never be stained by sin. It's that part of me that is born again and that new man. And that's the part of me that's going to go to heaven to be with God someday. But that new, perfectly sinless man is wrapped in this rotting corpse of sinful flesh. And I hate the battle that happens in our hearts, don't you? You hate the tug of war. And you see, whenever we begin to give in to our sinful flesh, we begin stepping out of the light. Preacher, how can I stay in the light whenever there's darkness in me? Oh, and this is the wonderful last part of this verse. Let's read the whole verse. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Look at this next phrase. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Boy, isn't that good? Preacher, how do I stay in the light when I'm sinful? You keep going to the blood. The same blood that saved us is the same blood that keeps us clean. It washes away the darkness. And that's what 1 John 1:9 says. Look at it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. That means He'll do it every time. And just, that means He'll do it right. To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, when we start to falter from the light, the thing to do is to own up to our sin. We confess our sin. We say, God, that was a sin. We agree with God and we ask Him to forgive us. So, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses away that sin and fellowship remains intact. What happens is whenever we get into sin and we refuse to confess it, we refuse to own it, we excuse it away. We say, oh, it's no big deal and it's not a problem. And you know what? I've been doing pretty good. I can skip church a little bit. I mean, I've been pretty faithful. I can sin a little bit. And whenever you begin to own that sin and you begin to protect that sin and indulge in it, fellowship's broken as you're walking out of the light. But you know, the good news is you come back to the light the same way you stay in it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And don't miss this next phrase, and cleanse us, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I heard a preacher tell a story years ago as the family was getting ready to go to church and they had beautiful little young girls and there was a Sunday and one of the girls in her nice Sunday dress, but it had been raining and the dad said, go out and get in the van, stay away from the mud puddles. Well, you know what happened. She couldn't stay away from the mud puddles. And she comes back and mom and dad's just getting ready to walk out the door and here she comes crying. Her beautiful hair has got muddy water in it, her dress, her shoes, her white tights. She's just a wreck. She was messing in the mud puddles, fell down. And she said, Daddy, forgive me. And he said, I forgive you. But do you think he just went and put her in the car and took her to church? He said, honey, let's go get you cleaned up. And he took her in, got her all dressed again. Mama got her all dressed again. They went to church that day and nobody even knew she'd been in that mud puddle. You know why? She was clean. And I am so glad God doesn't leave us dirty. I'm so glad when we fall in the mud puddle of sin that God doesn't just say, I forgive you, and leave us dirty. He cleans us up. And one of the hardest things you'll struggle with after you get in sin is you will feel dirty. You will feel like, I know I'm forgiven, but, and you've got to grab onto this idea that God doesn't just forgive you emotionally, He doesn't just forgive you factually, but He cleans you up. And when God looks at you, He doesn't see you in the filth of your sin, He sees you clean. What a blessing. But sin breaks fellowship, doesn't it? Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Oh, some people say, well, that's not a sin. That's not a sin. Now, you might say, hey, stop judging me. That's not a sin. Just because you and I say something's not a sin does not make it true. Right? If God says it's a sin, it's a sin. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. If God says it's evil, it's evil. Because He's God, not you. He's God, not a college professor. He's God, not a scientist. He's God, not a historian. He's God, not a fanatic. He is God. He decides. And if you don't like what His laws of morality are, then go build your own planet. Go create your own universe out of nothing. But as long as He's God, He gets to decide. We live in this world where, man, everybody's their own God. Every man did that which was right in their own eyes. Nowadays, eating meat is considered a terrible thing, and killing babies is okay. Who came up with that? I was driving through Connecticut some months ago, and I don't remember where I was coming from, but I was heading back this way, and I was going somewhere around near where Yale University is there, and there was a billboard, and I was shocked, absolutely shocked, because they had a baby and a mother on one side, cheek to cheek, so cute, and on the other side, a sheep and a lamb, cheek to cheek, and the saying underneath said something like, there is no difference. And it was PETA, the group that, listen, I don't think you ought to mistreat your animals. I don't think you ought to mistreat anybody. Matter of fact, Proverbs specifically says don't mistreat your animals. But neither do I think that animals are the same thing as people or people are the same thing as animals. But see, when you get unattached from this book, you get all messed up. But God gets to decide. Some people say, well, that's not a sin. I'm not in sin. I was talking with Brother Brent this week, and we were talking about how sin changes you. And I was reminded how sin is like a computer virus. You know, you get a virus on your computer, and it starts acting weird. And if some viruses can literally rewrite your operating system, they can. Make your hard drive delete things that you wanted to keep. And I've seen it so many times over the years that people get into sin and it's like they become different people. Sin just begins to rewrite. They forget history. They forget every good thing you've ever done for them. And they remember every slight that they've ever even imagined against you. They their priorities get rearranged. Where it's like, I knew you. What happened to you? Where is the person I used to know? But that sin, if it's unrepentant and we just let it linger and we begin to make excuses for it, it will change us from the inside out. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. There's a foolish doctrine that says in this life you can get to the place where you're sinless. You know, where I don't, as a Christian, they would say, I don't sin anymore. That's not in the Bible. Matter of fact, if you think that, if you think you have no sin, you are deceiving yourself. And the truth is not in us. See, why do we deceive ourselves? Because we don't have the truth. We've rejected the truth. But when we accept the truth, now we know that we are sinners. We can see the sin in our own lives. And then look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned. Now, notice the difference between verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, that's present tense. And if we say that we have not sinned, that means I've never sinned. See the difference? What happens to people that say, well, I'm not a sinner. I've never sinned. You ever witnessed to someone or talked to someone? They're like, oh, I'm not a sinner. And when they do that, I always say, let me ask your wife. See what she's got to say. Or let me ask your mom. I bet she's got a different opinion. But look what God says. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him, that's a holy God, we make him a liar. If you say that you are not a sinner, you are calling God a liar. Because God says you are. Everybody's a sinner. That's why it's so important when we deal with people about salvation, that we hold them up to the mirror of the Word of God. That we let them know the Ten Commandments are that basically a simplified list that's a mirror that reminds us that we need a Savior. But there's all kinds of commandments in the Bible that we've transgressed. And a sin is just a transgression of the law. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And then there's a few verses about sin that even blow the mature Christian's mind. We have no doubt that immorality is sin. We have no doubt jealousy, envy, anger, malice, all those things. But listen to what God said here. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Chew on that for a while. There is no doubt that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. And the Bible says again, verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. See, the problem when it comes to sin, the problem is the Word of God. If you're willing to accept the Word of God, God settles the issue. But when people don't accept the Word of God or they don't know the Word of God, and this is where the church and Christians have really failed, in that kids are being taught nowadays that to pollute a stream is a sin, but sleeping around's okay. That if you were to kill an animal, that would be a terrible sin. But to do any of these other crazy things that the world says is okay, well, that's fine. By the way, don't judge me. And so we have to preach God's Word. And it's the same Word that teaches us God's a holy God and where there's no darkness, and that sin is exceedingly sinful, and that sin breaks fellowship with God. But God has made a way that we as sinful humans can have fellowship with a holy God. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Thank God for the blood of Christ. Simple message today. Sin breaks fellowship. You can have fellowship with God anytime you want it if you're willing to confess your sin. But you can lose fellowship with God that fast when you begin to choose sin over God, and then He convicts you about it, and instead of repenting, confessing it, agreeing with God, forsaking it, you say, "No, I want this." And God says, "You can't have that and me." I look forward to the day when we all get to heaven where there's no more choice, where it's just all about Him. Amen. Let's bow. Father, thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You for the reminder that sin breaks fellowship. And Lord, we can have fellowship with You if we will just walk in the light and confess our sin and keep confessing and confessing, and all of our sins that we'll focus on keeping short accounts with You so that we can retain that relationship, that good relationship of father and child. And so, Lord, I pray that these verses, these years we've spent studying these verses on fellowship, that they would never leave us, that we would be changed forever by the knowledge of how wonderful fellowship is with You, with one another. And Lord, that we would protect it. And Lord, that we would say no to sin so we can say yes to You in righteousness. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I don't know what the Lord spoke to your heart about, but is there a sin in your life that you need to confess? Is there something that you've been struggling with God about? Boy, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. You give up so much when you choose sin over God. And God, help us all. Holy Spirit, help us all. Remind us all. Well, then maybe you're trying to do right now, and you're actually in a pretty good place. Well, you've got to protect that by staying in the light when it gets uncomfortable, staying in the light when you get led off and wooed to the darkness. And if you start taking steps off of the path of light, confess it. Keep short accounts with God, not to be resaved, not to stay saved, but to keep a good relationship with your Heavenly Father. And then let's pray for those who are out of fellowship with God, that they would come back to the light. Pray for those of us that are still following God, that we would never leave the light, that God would protect us. Can happen to anybody. God help us all. Let's stand. As the piano plays, the altar's open. If the Lord spoke to your heart, right now it's a good idea to think about